Hello there. I'm so glad you could make it back to Dead Drunk Uncle. I'm your host for today, Steph. And we are on part three. And I think part three is probably going to be the last one because at this point I'm just kind of re-going back through his posts and things to find claims that he makes that are things that are researchable. Whether it's major details or more minor details, just things that I, you know, thought I might be able to prove or disprove, you know, just to kind of get a better idea what we're dealing with. Because, to be honest, I don't think any of us actually knows. And I really don't pretend to. I mean, I know I sit here and I'm a smartass and I joke about shit, but I have no idea. And let's be honest, guys. I am the last person in a position to call this guy anything other than his name. Because I know I sound nuts and I have all these crazy ideas, and it is so easy, you know, to get carried away watching a documentary or, you know, doing a deep dive on Reddit or Web Sleuths or something and start to think, oh my gosh, that could fit someone I know. It's like when I was in college and like every other hapless, directionless person, I think in the 90s, I studied psychology. And, you know, they would joke with it since I mean, it was just undergraduate, whatever, you know. But they would joke about how you're going to think you have every single one of these conditions that we're going to discuss because that's just the psych 101 illness or some shit. So it's a very similar thing to me that I would be reading through these things knowing that I have someone in mind who's a horrible human being and probably did some terrible things. In my case, I'm thinking, of course, of my uncle. And all I can do is just look through cases and see if he fits them. And that's not an effective way to go through. So, anyways, I'll stop just mumbling because, look, it's a little early. It's not like a wake and bake time of day situation, but it's maybe a little early for me to be all the way as high as I got for my morning. But I tell you what, I did give myself the gift of relaxation today. That's a gift I hope you give yourself today too. I was doing my meditation, hypnosis, sleep podcast things that I listen to. And last night, the one I listened to was something about give yourself the gift of relaxation. So I'm trying to, you know, practice it. This coffee is delicious with a piece of the edible chocolate. Well, all chocolate, I suppose, is probably edible. My chocolate edible. And a little bit of dissolved powder from the dispensary, just kind of mixed in there with the coffee. And some of that Inzane in the membrane. Wow. This is going to be a great day, folks. I'm not saying that with any kind of, like, knowledge of anything. I'm just happy. And I will digress, because I always do. I just want to say, like, when I do get silly, stupid, elevated like this, it just reminds me why this is my medicine. Because otherwise, I seriously would just be sitting here feeling horrible. And it's amazing when I first got my medical card, because I really didn't use any weed before then since college. I just didn't. You know, no judgment, whatever. And as soon as I got my card and started taking edibles and stuff, I was like, I feel happy. What the hell is this? And it felt like such an unfamiliar feeling. And that made me very sad. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even, like, this is what happy feels like. And I've been so upset for so long that I hardly remember it. And I, with the help of not just weeds, but with therapy and relaxation and practicing and practicing and practicing and doing this podcast, I'm getting better about it. I'm getting there. Okay, we were talking about all this craziness, and I have my laptop opened up with pictures of this dude just looking at me, so I've got to move on. Okay, so I think I said a second ago, and I could be totally wrong, that at this point, getting ready for this episode, I'm really just kind of going through any of the claims that I can try to substantiate or debunk, right? So, buckle up. Because this is what I was doing. Honestly, when I finally went to bed last night, I couldn't keep my eyes open, or else I really would have just stayed up. Because there's no reason I can't stay up all night, except for the fact that I'm too old and tired to do so. But that's good. That's wonderful that I was so tired I had to go to sleep. Yay. Yay, sleep. So, what are the things I was going through? I'm so glad you could ask that. I thought I had it all queued up here, but I do not. I just kind of went through, because I thought that he had posted some kind of list that had, like, places that he was and people who went missing at the same time that he was there, or people who were murdered the same time he was there. And I thought it was like a specific list, but I might have imagined that, or he might have taken it down, but I think I imagined that. At any rate, I went through the timeline that he had printed up and posted yesterday. Or 2 days ago. Jesus, God, these days are all running together. I don't know. And just trying to, I will just keep saying what claims are facts that can be proven or not. And a lot of the stuff I had already just done on, like, the first day before I, like, started to do episodes about it, I was literally just writing every single fact down about any of these people involved. I mean, I have them all, so I can certainly go back through this. That's what we'll do. It's like a time capsule. We'll go back someday and review it, and it'll be amazing. Alrighty. So, I think we already know. I couldn't find anywhere any mention of Dustin's birth in 1981. And certainly not of twins' birth to his mom in 1981. And when his younger brother was born, there was a hospital announcement that's in newspapers.com. Now, is this because he's making it up and he looked up to see what information was available that people could find and is making his story fit that? Or is that because it's just, that's just what it is? I don't think there's any way to know that for sure. I mean, with what we have, is what I'm saying. So, moving forward. Timeline is, like, this work, we don't... They filed for divorce, or they did divorce a couple of times, and I did find information on that on newspapers.com. There was a strange letter that David had posted that says, you know, that he is no longer responsible for Peggy's financial obligations. And that, from what I'm looking, or from what I'm finding, is a kind of standard thing that happened in olden times, as if I didn't exist then, where they would put a legal notice in to say, well, like what he said, that I'm not responsible for her anymore. It's just, it reminds me of like Michael Scott saying, I declare bankruptcy. It's basically that, but in print under the section legal notices so that it feels more official. But it's not, it wasn't a weird thing, is what I'm saying. It would, you know, he apparently that they were going through divorce and that was just a notice that is a thing that people do. Whatever. I didn't look up or find actual divorce decrees or anything, but I don't. Oh my God, I was gonna say I don't think that matters, but there would be so much information in a divorce decree or in the, you know. But I also kind of feel like that's. I don't want to. I mean, I know I'm digging and I know this is none of my business and I know I'm nosy, but that. I might poke around at that stuff, but I'm not gonna do it live. I mean, not you're listening to a recording, but you know what I mean. I am searching some of this stuff as I go because I am bebopping all around the place in all my open tabs. So, yeah, they divorced and remarried or whatever, and I'll see what I find. Nothing from 1981, and I couldn't find anything that said she was in the hospital. I don't know that that doesn't exist. It might just be that I didn't find it. Because, again, I was up late last night with my medicine and was very sleepy. Now, also, something to point out, it's in 1981 that he says. Well, not that he says, that's the year he was born. So that would be the year that the alleged twins were born. And then it says in 1981 to 1982, they lived in Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Idaho, Wyoming, all within a 12-month period. Now, again, is that real or is that convenient? Because, no, we can't find any hospital records. But also there that just widens the pool that we're searching in rather than widening the net. So, you know, both sides of the coin here, folks, both sides of the coin. But I did happen to look for the births of twin boys. Where's my note? I'm sure I made a note on this. Thought I did. Excuse me. But I did look through for the birth of any twin boys in any of those states in 1981, and I didn't find anything for them or hospital records for them. I'm just looking back through my cards to see what if I. I could swear I wrote it down specifically. You know, not that it matters, but I like very much to tell you specifically these are the things, the searches that I ran. But I don't know. Can't find it. But I know that the result was I didn't find any twins. And then they went to Rupert, Idaho, and then in 83 gives birth to youngest son. And that we could find in 83, fire burns in the closet of the McKissons' home. They lose a chest of family keepsakes. I mean, I don't, there's no way to prove if they lost a chest of family keepsakes, certainly, but the fire absolutely did occur. Shit. I'm not saying too bad the fire. Well, I mean, I don't want any fire to occur, but I just accidentally clicked on something and got out of the timeline because I'm reading it off the screen. Oh, good. I got right back there. Okay, so they absolutely did have fires, and Peggy McKisson absolutely was charged with arson. And they didn't proceed because the investigator moved away and a witness moved away. And that is in a newspaper article. And again, the way he says it is very similar to the way it is in the article, and I was able to find the article myself online and in more than one newspaper. I guess I didn't. I'm gonna find all these notes right after this. But that article that he posted, it was legit. And there were I think three fires altogether, but those were in the articles. So you guys, some of this weird shit is true. But again, is it because he looked to see what he could find and then is using the evidence to fit his story, or the other way around? Detective Tiny Hands will figure it out. So then we have the first fire was in, or wait, there were two fires in December of 1983 in the same house. And then a house down the street caught on fire in 84. And now the part where he wrote that she got a Trans Am and personalized the license plate saying, "I won." Oh, I know, I already talked about this part. I wish I could tell. And all these homes, I don't know what the purpose of those are, him listing, other than to say where they lived. But I mean, when you go through the bankruptcies, it does list these addresses, so it seems that they did own these properties. And then the thing in 1988, in the summer, they meet David in Washington State and live in a tent on a campground, and a tent in the forest, and a trailer in Mattawa, Washington, over the summer. It sounds to me like they went camping in 1988. So I can't really prove or disprove that, but I did run a search for 1988 for McKisson in Washington, and I didn't find anything. Not that that matters, but I mean, presumably there could have been, someone got a ticket while they were there, and it would have, proved that that's where they were there. That still wouldn't prove anything, but I'm just looking to see what if I can find truths or lies and stack them up and see how it weighs out. Now, it says in 1989, Dusty received a Social Security number using a forged birth certificate. I had an idea about this when I was looking through. I looked at one of those background check websites, where you pay the stupid fee and it tells you like two more useless facts than what they gave you before you paid the fee. But here's the thing, when you look at those reports, a lot of times it'll have, like, at some spot on the timeline of it, Social Security number issued, and it'll have some kind of date range or something, or a date listed. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's actually when it was issued. I don't know how or why those dates are what they are, but I know I looked through my own before, and it wasn't, I had my original Social Security card. So, I mean, I know that I had it, but it listed up there, on that thing that it wasn't the same year as my birth. But I know that's not true. So, you know what I mean? Like, I almost wonder if he ran his own background check and saw that it came up like birth certificate, Dusty 1989, and said, "Oh my God, they got me or not birth certificate, but have a forged birth certificate. Oh my God, they got me my social security number not until 89. That's crazy. You know what I mean? I don't know. And then she files for divorce again. I think they only got remarried once, though. Then there's the foreclosures, which I, you know, saw those. And here we go. 1989, Peggy pleads guilty to an unknown Class A misdemeanor. Now, this tells me 100% that, you know, he just got this from Googling her in Utah in court records. Because you can, for Utah, you can go on and to sign up for their search, you like pay a fee and then they charge you per search and it takes credits off of that fee. You know, so like I paid $5 and then it's like 20 cents per search and that 20 cents is deducted off of the $5 and then I'm left with a credit of however much. But I think it's just $5 that I paid. I don't think I get back the credit balance. I don't think that it matters or that I care. However, I did do that and looked up these cases. And there were some cases where it was the two boys, Cody and Dusty and Peggy, all as plaintiffs against some like housing place or lending place or rental place or something. So I wonder if that was like the something to do with when she was upset about they told her she was in one school district and she found out later that the kids were actually in a different school district or something. I couldn't quite get through what that was all about. But there was an unknown, and it didn't say an unknown Class A misdemeanor. It was a judgment in 1989, a judgment that was issued against her for $1,350.14. I don't know if this was part of the foreclosure or the bankruptcy. I don't know. The case type is AJ. I'm assuming that means adjudicated. I have a case number. It was in Utah, in Weber County, and it doesn't go into detail, but it was just a judgment against her. I mean, it just sounds, you know, it just sounds like a bad debt, and she paid it. So he said it was October of 89. That's what happened with her in October of 89. So, and again, that does not prove that there was nothing else against her. I just didn't find it. And it could be as simple as I didn't use the right search terms and it's still right there. You know, who knows? But, I mean, I looked pretty obsessively. And what other? There were, like, some tickets that I found for, you know, various family members during that time in Utah. And there was a case that looked like it was a debt that was being pursued. And the defendants were both Dustin and Peggy. So now when he had said something about, didn't they say that the brother was using Peggy's social security number to get like housing or, you know, like identity theft, basically. But I think maybe she did that to Cody. I think maybe that she did that to Dustin or Dustin did that to her. Because they were both listed as defendants on this case that was against them in Utah. Now, I don't know if that's the same as the case where the judgment was issued that was satisfied. They were listed on there separately, so I don't think so, but that was just something of interest that I found. Still doesn't prove anything. Okay, and then my next note is about proving where they went camping, which, okay. Now here's where it gets, oh no, before we get to the grossness. Well, all of this is gross, really, so let's just be honest. All right. Oh, because that's not in the timeline. Gotcha. Okay, for 2006. I'm just clicking through his timeline. And it looks like, for the most part, he's saying from 2001 to 2022, David was in Arizona. He put that on this timeline. And then in 2006, they say that David, his friend and potential romantic partner, was found shot near a property owned by David McKisson's family. Now, because it says owned by David McKisson's family, I'm presuming that we don't know which house it is, or that he's saying that was like his grandma's house or something. So that made it impossible for me to find, because if you want to go through Arizona and find the murders that happened in 2006, a good luck. I was looking very briefly, and I think I found like six when I was looking for articles about articles about a man being found shot in Arizona in 2006. And I found so many. So, and that's presuming that every article that's out there is available. With it being 2006, probably. But I can't guarantee that, and I'm as obsessive and nosy and stubborn as I am, I'm not actually going to sit down and go through hundreds of them and hope that I have all of them. And then look through each one and prove or disprove. Like, that's not realistic, unfortunately. But I did start to. And since they don't give a name, if he gave a name, I could, you know, even a first name, that would be extremely helpful. But I couldn't find anything. I did make attempts, but I could not find anything. So, multiple dwellings, right? I have that in my note. 2006. And then he says he stored a shotgun, a disassembled shotgun, in their apartment. I don't know. I have to assume that he's saying they found out later that his dad stored a disassembled shotgun in their apartment in 2006, because I do not know why he would let his dad. I wouldn't let my best friend store a disassembled shotgun in my house. I wouldn't let anybody. Oh my God. Okay. But that's just me. That's something that annoys me too. People are like, I would never do such a thing. Well, that's okay. You wouldn't. I need to get better about realizing not everybody thinks like me. And then it says, while high on meth, David informs Dustin that he once had a sister. I mean, it was while I was high on meth, but okay. And then Megan's father begins a friendship with David. There's no way to prove that. David contacts Dustin for help with getting clean, and David moves in with Dustin. I can't prove that. And then David says he's gay. I don't know why that matters. And it says that he spends time in Canada, and that's setting up to say that he murdered Amber Takaro and Dusty McMillan, or Cody Ryan McMillan. And then Dustin says he was assaulted by David. There's no you know, he's not saying he reported it, so there's nothing to verify there. So, the Takaro recording released to the public, and right after that happens, David abruptly leaves Canada and decided to live in a property Dustin purchased. Okay, I don't care about whether he lived in Florida or not, because he said he didn't. David and his partner returned to Rimley. 2013, David travels to St. Charles, Missouri. What if it was on here and it said 1992, David McKesson traveled extensively up and down the I-70 corridor? I just can't fucking believe that St. Charles comes up again in here. St. Charles, Missouri. But, whatever. Okay, and then in June of 2018, Megan's father dies. And Dustin did post at some point on his timeline the autopsy report, or a portion of a report, of some kind of report. And it's upsetting. I'm not going to get into it, but it's... I mean, they did rule it a suicide. I don't have any reason to personally believe otherwise. I'm not, you know, I definitely don't know enough to know about the way that he did complete suicide, or did, you know. I am not an expert here, okay? Stop! I don't know what to say. But it's, whatever the case, it's very sad. I mean, And these people are definitely going through something. You know, 4 years ago, having lost father-in-law, you know, suddenly and tragically, no matter what the circumstance was, that's terrible. And they have suspicions. And in 2020, yeah, he had to get out ahead of this. In 2020, you know, he was going out there a lot, talking about how he really thought that his dad was responsible for Amber Takaro's murder, and he didn't feel like he was getting heard. And when you don't feel like you're getting heard, you start to sound crazy when you're jumping up and down and screaming a lot. Trust me. Because I've spent a lot of the last 2 years jumping up and down and screaming a lot. You know, hypothetically. Wait. Metaphorically. Couldn't remember which language I was trying to speak. And yes, the squeaky oil gets the grease, but do you want the grease just thrown at you, or do you want someone to actually give a shit and help you get the wheel greased? That was all just weird, but I think you know what I'm saying here. What I'm working on is trying to not be jumping up and down and screaming all the time when I feel like I'm not being heard. It doesn't help. Now, because this is the grossest part of this, I saved it for last. That's why I skipped and was going through the rest of the timeline for anything that I wanted to cover before we go into this part. So, it's right here. My note is right here. It is fucking right here. Here it is. I couldn't find it, so I was getting mad at myself. Okay, so where he's saying that he believes he had a sister who was murdered as an infant in 1989 in Rupert, Idaho. Now, I I cannot keep the dates straight in my head of where he lived, when, where, what. And frankly, I don't think it matters because I don't know that it's all consistent, and I don't know that it would be. Truly, just trying to remember back where you lived when as a kid. I think I said this before. I don't know where I lived when I was in my 20s. I don't remember. I mean, the address, anyways, but. Or what dates. But anyway, I did look it up, and of course, there was a murdered infant found in a landfill outside of Rupert, Idaho. And this was referred to as the Baby X case. Now, the first thing I found on this was a Facebook post from a Facebook page called Today in Horror History, where they posted this. I don't remember. A couple years ago? I think in 2020. Holy shit. I'm just looking this up now to see when this Facebook page posted it. So let me go to Today in Horror History. It's an educational website. And let's search Fuller Rupert. Okay. It was posted. Oh my God, you guys. It was posted on Today in Horror History in November of 1989 on the anniversary of when this was found. I wonder if this is just. And then it was posted again in 2020. Oh my goodness. Let's look through. I'm gonna look through the likes and such and see if he liked this. So I'm sorry this is quiet. I am reading through the names of who liked these posts. This is the exciting research, friends. One sec. Note to self, when you hear this, look up Jane Doe's and Missing 1970s and 80s. That's someone who liked this post, and that's a page I would love to go back and look up. So really, I'm looking for any McKisson or any Dusty or Dustin or Megan. There's a lot of people that like this post. But this is all the likes, dislikes, all that shit. Okay, the one in 19, I don't see that he liked. Let's look through the comments and see if he commented. That's right, I'm thorough. Leah. God, people are talking to details of it. It's terrible. And I don't think they ever identified. Oh, wait, I was only looking at most relevant. Let's look at all comments. And comments on comments. And likes on comments. Because if I can see that he touched this in any way. He died in 2018. That's just a random thing. Okay. I'm sure you love listening to silence. Yeah, there's he didn't comment or publicly like a comment or anything on the one in 2019. Let's check the 2020 post. Reading. This would be amazing if I found that. It still wouldn't prove it, but. Okay, he didn't like it or hate it or react to it. He didn't comment on it or like a comment on it. Let's see, it says 16 shares, but it just says one name and 15 more when I click on it. Okay, yeah, with privacy. Yeah, I can't see who else shared it. I can only see the name of one person who shared it, and that wasn't him. And this one has 54 shares. Let's see if I can see any of those. Yeah, and I don't see that he shared either of these articles, but I can't see every person who shared it. So, did he just see this and go, "Oh my God, that was near where I grew up," maybe, or near where I lived? Maybe that was my sister. I don't know. But this is definitely a case, and it's unsolved, and it's really sad. And it's really gross and horrible. So that is what I have on this shiz. I'm just gonna go real quick to his page. He has listed himself as a public figure. I don't think that's how he was when I first looked him up. And he has plenty of likes on here. And okay, he has that post pinned with the recording. You know what's funny? This Uncle Bruce situation, you guys. This is so funny because in my husband's family, they had this joke, Uncle Bruce. And it was the thing, like when they were out, when him and his cousins and everyone, when they were kids, the parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and stuff, they would always threat, well, not threaten the kids, but warn them, like, "Watch out, or we're gonna send you in the basement with Uncle Bruce." And it was this whole thing about Uncle Bruce is lives in the basement. And I mean, obviously, there was no Uncle Bruce. That was just a funny thing in their family, and like, you know, because we'll be sitting here and we'll joke to the pets, "We're gonna send you downstairs with Uncle Bruce." So it's just funny that in this story is involved in Uncle Bruce. I don't mean to make light of that situation because that is horrible, but that is the voicemail. I mean, look, they know who it is, but anyone else listening to it, it doesn't prove to us that that's him or that that's what he's saying because it's a snippet. It's like he gives you just enough that you can't really disprove it, but you have to take a bit of a leap of faith if you want to go along with it. And I don't have any faith to put in anybody. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from with my stance of skepticism. And the skepticism is getting worse and worse. And I feel kind of bad about that because I really don't want to be that skeptical about it. I want to, you know, I don't know. I want him to be helped, whatever kind of help he may need. I really genuinely hope that they can get it. And if there's anything I can do to help that, I mean, certainly. Oh my God. This is so fucking hilarious. I knew. Oh! Fucking knew it. Sorry. Something that he posted an hour ago about Roy High School announces science fair winners. You guys, I literally took a note on this article when I was just going through at first and writing down every fact I found on them that his dad won this. He had an honorable mention for his science fair project. And it was with his friend, I think. And this was... That was not honorable mention. This is where he won. He won a section of it. The agriculture section with the automatic feedlot for cattle. And Dusty is taking that article as proof of the automatic feeding system that he was fed with while he was being held captive. I don't want to make light of this and act like it's definitely not true, because there's so much childhood trauma out there that people have not dealt with, and generational trauma, and like, this stuff really needs to be taken seriously. So I'm making my best effort to take this seriously. And again, the best case scenario here is that he's making this up, you know, because obviously we don't want these things to be true because they're horrible. But if that's the case, then he still needs help. Right? Okay, anyway. So yeah, this is an article that's quite readily available. And so he probably... And then in the next breath, Steph. The way I was looking at this is that, you know, he kind of looked up stuff and found articles that would maybe go along with what he thought, and let's put it that way, because we have no idea what's going through his mind. But I said this on a comment somewhere yesterday where someone said, oh, he lost me at the whole automated feeder thing, winning a prize for it in school or whatever. And I said, you know, I really think that he put that detail in there because there's an article about his dad in high school doing this project and winning an award, and that's something then that he can verify. So that's honestly what I think, but that still doesn't mean that Dusty is being anything less than honest. I really want to keep that out there. I know it sounds silly, but we really don't know what's going on, and we really don't know what's going through his mind. And I, you know, I joke and I'm silly, but I don't, you know, I want him, again, to be helped, whatever type of help he needs, I truly. And what, there's a double-edged sword here, where him bringing this up is getting a lot of exposure and talking about, well, a lot of things, but in the smaller details, unfortunately, is talking about some unsolved murders. Now, with the Keddy Cabin murders, I have to do some more research on that, and I think that that might be one of the next topics that we'll do, and just cut him completely out of the story, obviously, but to talk about that, because it is officially unsolved, and I'm not sure if that's one of those officially, unofficially businesses. I need to look into that more. But Amber Takaro's case is not solved, and so, I mean, it's good to bring more eyes to those cases to try to get them solved. But if this is in any way a manipulation, to do it through manipulation is really gross, because, you know, then you're involving families of victims, and that's very traumatizing. Even if you think you're helping them by bringing light to this, like, it's not the right way, dude. You know? It's not the right way. But look, I don't know that that's what happened, so. I guess if we want to take a positive outlook, we can say, with all the attention that he's getting for this, hopefully he will get whatever help, attention, whatever he needs. There. I was just about out of time on the recording, so I stopped it for easy editing purposes to do just a little wrap-up here and double-check to see if there's anything new posted on his page that I need to see. I don't see anything. And, oh, here's a poll that was just posted an hour ago in a group that I'm in, the McKesson Family Mysteries, where people post talking about what they think about this. And, yeah, 62% of the poll respondents here, like me, I believe some of his claims, but others I have a hard time believing. And I think that's definitely where I fall. There have been posts that said that he is writing a book about this. I know he says things like referring to this as engagement on his social media. You know, little things like that that make it feel a little more manufactured. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, people don't always put that much fucking thought into each fucking word that comes out of the fucking mouth, right? It's really hard because you know, you want to get to the bottom of this, and you want to get there. You want to get there, find it out, driving me nuts. But I don't want to be dismissive. I don't ever want to be dismissive of someone who comes forward with claims of abuse or violence, or I definitely don't want to be dismissive. And the thing is just, if it's not real, oh, it's so icky. Well, what do you guys think anyways? I just keep going on and on and on and on and on about how I can't really prove or disprove much of anything. What do you think? You can go to the Facebook page if you want. I really encourage so much. No, I posted on there, I think, a link. I don't know if it works or not because I haven't tried it. But I haven't seen any messages come up. But, you know, leave us a voice message on the link that was on the Facebook page, or leave us a message on the Facebook page, Or, you know, don't if you don't want to have the engagement with us on social media. I have to make everything a joke. It's very important to me that I can laugh at everything. That's something to explore in my next therapy appointment. So, anyways, I don't know if he's writing a book. I don't. And honestly, if this stuff is true, of course he should be writing a book and he should be documenting this stuff as it happens. So I don't know that we necessarily need to tear him down if he is writing a book. It's just really hard to say at this point. Let me know what you think. And we'll be back with our next episode at some point. I don't know. We haven't.
Rude.
We haven't made a decision about our next recording yet. There's a lot going on with summer, with people that, you know, have lives besides, you know, I don't have a whole bunch of stuff to do, but everyone else does. So, you know, I'll be back, they'll be back, we'll be back. Here's one thing that you can count on. I will still be digging up some shit, and I will still be stoned. Okay, bye.